honored and always surprised when somebody has me back after they've heard me preach once. But it's a pleasure to be here. I call myself a Southern Yankee, born and raised in New York up until 7 years ago, and the Lord moved us in our ministry down to North Carolina. We love it down there and having a good time. But I'll tell you what, really enjoying the cooler temperatures back here. I really enjoy this. We had a blistering hot and humid summer, and I got back up here, and I love these temperatures. So it's a beautiful place up here. We always enjoy coming back, and this is our home church now where we're back in the North Country. We enjoy being back here with you guys, and I just called the pastor, I don't know, a few weeks back and said, we're up there fellowshipping with you, and I don't know if you want me again. And I'm always surprised when he says yes, but I'm glad to be here. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I love this country. We have the greatest country in the world. We're not perfect, but we're the greatest country out there still. I love America. And on the way up from North Carolina traveling with my dad, we were saying that how blessed we are in this country to just have the freedom to be able to move about. You think so many countries in this world where they can't do that without danger of losing life or limb. And we can just move about and enjoy this great land. That's not everywhere, folks, and don't take that for granted. It may not be there forever if we do. So just cherish what we have now in this great country. Would you stand with me in Isaiah chapter 40? Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to start reading in verse 28. Familiar verses to you all, I'm sure, but I want to look at it here again this morning. Isaiah chapter 40 and starting in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for the gathering of the saints and the freedom we have in this country to still gather under your name and to preach your word and to proclaim the truth of the gospel to one another. Lord, I just thank you for that freedom we have, and I pray that you protect it in this country. Keep us free in that sense, Lord, the freedom to serve you. And Lord God, I just pray now that you'd hide me behind this pulpit, Lord God, so no one sees me or hears me. I pray that there be two preaching here this morning, that you would preach to my heart, and then you use me to preach to your people the words that you want them to hear. And Lord, I pray that we'd all have hearts and ears open to you and to be changed into your image and likeness for your glory, for your sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text here, you're looking at verse 31, familiar verse to us all. You'll notice there that there's four shalls. That's a definite article, a definite statement. It shall be. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Thought about that verse a lot, and I'm really glad that it's the eagle that the Lord has used many times throughout the scriptures as well as here. But many times he uses the eagle to use as an example rather than one of the other birds that we should identify ourselves with. Let's face it, God could have used any one of the birds that he created to use as an example to identify us with, but I'm glad that he chose the eagle. And if he would have chose one of the other birds, he would have been right too. I think about it. For instance, let me show you what I mean by that. Think about the chicken. Now, I raised laying hens over in New York. I raised them for a lot of years. I learned a lot about chickens. And God could have used the chicken to use as an example to compare us to and to teach us a lesson. But having raised them for so long, let me give you some of the chicken facts that I learned raising chickens for all those years. Chickens are crowd followers. They really are. You get a yard full of chickens, and if a bunch of chickens start running off in that direction, all the rest will leave what they're doing. I don't care how much fun they're having. They'll trace that crowd over there. You see, a chicken doesn't want to miss out on what the crowd's doing. So no matter what they were doing, no matter how important it is, hey, where are they going? And they'll all, well, I guess it's like this. But they all head over in that direction, follow the crowd. Chickens are crowd followers. And boy, stop and think about it. Isn't a lot of people today crowd followers? That's what a lot of young people get in a lot of trouble, because they follow the crowd. They follow what other people are doing instead of what the Word of God says, or what mom and dad said, or what their heart says they ought to be doing. They follow the crowd and they get in a lot of trouble that way. Something else about chickens I've learned is chickens just naturally squabble and fight a lot. They fight amongst themselves for no reason at all. They're just like that. That's just their nature. If one of the chickens in the whole chicken yard finds a certain little bug they're out to eat and he goes to pick it up, all of a sudden all the other chickens got to have it. And they'll be all over and pecking at him and trying to get that little bug. Doesn't matter how long they've been running around the yard and looking at that same bug, that same grasshopper, whatever it might be. Don't matter how long they pass by it during the day. Now, because that one chicken has it, they all got to have it. And they're all pecking and fighting and squabbling over it. Thought about that. Boy, how much people are like that sometimes. Squabbling, fighting over the silliest things. Things that didn't matter to you before, but now all of a sudden it's monumentous and squabbling. People are really a lot like chickens. Chickens also have no interest in the heavenlies. What I mean by that is simply this. Chickens spend no time looking up. They just don't care about things that are up. You know, most chickens will never even try to fly, though there's no reason they could fly if they tried to, but they don't even try to. Because chickens spend their life earthbound. Their head is to the ground. They're pecking, looking for something to eat. They're earthbound. They're willingly, by choice, they are earthbound creatures. They don't care about what's up. I thought about that. How many people in our world today don't care about the heavenlies, don't care about what's up? They're stuck here on the earth. By choice, they only want to be stuck with the earthly things, the things that are going on around them. So I think you know by now that there are a number of things that I could go on and on. That there are things about that living the chicken life that is not very pleasant, not very exciting. It's nothing compared to living the eagle life. And I'm so glad that God used the eagle here to point to something that we could learn something from and live by. The chicken life is so limited. The chicken life is so confining. It's so predictable. It's so boring. But the eagle life, that's something else entirely. That's exciting. We hear the very word eagle, and I don't know about you, but I just think of one of those magnificent birds just soaring in the sky, hardly flapping its wings, but up there just soaring, magnificent, beautiful animal, powerful, royal-looking. I think that the eagle is to the bird world what the lion is to the animal world. It's like the king of the air. He's just so magnificent. I love the eagle. You know, I'm so glad that Benjamin Franklin didn't get his way. You see, back in 1784, Benjamin Franklin fought really hard trying to get our national bird to be the turkey. Come on, Ben, the turkey? The turkey? I mean, turkeys are about the dumbest animal. See, when I raise chickens, I raise turkeys too. There's some dumb animals in turkeys, I'm telling you. I can't believe that he wanted the turkey to be our national animal. They're only good for one thing, to stuff at Thanksgiving time. I mean, turkeys. But the eagle is mentioned some 32 times in the Bible. Now, if God says something once, we should pay attention. If he says it twice, you've heard that saying, 32 times we can find the eagle mentioned in the Bible. The eagle is mentioned in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Job, Psalm, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Obadiah, Micah, Habakkuk, and the Revelation, as well as in Isaiah that we're looking at this morning. So then I guess there's something here. God has something to say for us about the eagle, something that we could possibly learn from the eagle. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Again, you'll see four shalls there, definite article statements. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What the prophet here is saying, that if you will yield your life, if you will dedicate your life, if you will surrender your will to God's will, these things shall be in your life. You will have the strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. God promises that you and I can live the eagle life if we'll give our will over to his will, if we surrender ourselves to him. Notice, since God mentions this great bird, the eagle, so many times in the Bible, I'm convinced that there are things that we can learn from it if we will surrender ourselves to his will. We can learn, if we submit ourselves to his will, we can learn from the eagle how we can live a better Christian life. I thought it might help us all this morning to look at the eagle a little closer. Let us see what we can learn from the eagle. Maybe we can glean something that will help you and I to be better Christians in this unchristian society we seem to be living in today. First thing I want to mention is some of the habits that I learned from studying the eagle. Some of the habits of the eagle. The eagle always builds its nest up in a high rocks, in the cleft of the rock, way up in the crags of the rock, way up in the top, high away from people. Job chapter 39, verses 27 and 28 put it this way. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. So the eagle knows to go to the rock to build its house in the strong place. Right off, I can see that the eagle ain't nobody's dummy. Eagle's not like the fool that the Lord speaks about in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26, where he says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto the foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. Eagle's not a fool like that to build his house upon shifting sand. He goes to the rock, that firm foundation, that strong place, and there he builds his house. Now, you won't find the eagle building it on shifting sand, yet how many people do we know who build their life, who build their house on something like shifting sand, something unsecure, unsafe, unsteady, unsteadfast? Instead of following the eagle's example and going to the rock of our salvation, and building our lives upon that. The psalmist David said this in Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. For the end of the earth, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, God has a rock for you and I to build our lives upon. It's high above the sins and wickedness of this world. It's a high place. There's a rock of safety for you and I, my friends. A rock of refuge for us to run to. The eagle knows to go to that rock to build his house. Why is it so many people today don't know as much as that bird? Psalm 40 and verse 2, David said this about God. He said, God brought me also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. God wants to set you and I on a solid place, a firm foundation on a rock. The eagle's smart enough to do that. They know enough to build their house, their nest on that place. Why is it so many people build their nest on something that will not last? Second habit of the eagle that I want to mention here this morning is I want to mention that they always rise above the storms of life instead of letting the storms of life get them down. Whenever a storm arises, you'll find the eagle taking advantage of that wind. Instead of looking at the storm and going, woe is me, what am I going to do now, and crawling under a rock to hide, the eagle will take the winds of that storm, put them under his wings, and he'll rise higher than he could have risen without the storm. Listen to what I'm saying. He doesn't let the storm get him down. He lets the storm lift him up higher than he could have gone before. They don't let the storms of life weaken them, but they use it to strengthen them through the storms. They turn something that was potentially bad and dangerous into something that's good and profitable. Boy, we could learn from that, my friends. When the storms of life come our way. Today in America, there are millions of people who are struggling with storms. They're depressed, they're down, they're worried, they're fearful, they're fretful, they're overwhelmed with the storms of life. And they're letting that get them down. And sometimes Christians do that too. They let the storms in their life get them down instead of like the eagle rising above them. People see the price of everything going up and the income of people coming down, and they see crime and drug use and promiscuity and homosexuality on the rise and morality on the decline. They see the storms, they hear the thunder, and they run in fear. They cower. The storms paralyze them. They keep them from moving on. They feel like they're in a prison sentence in this life, and they just want out of the storm. If only they would surrender themselves completely to the God who created them. Completely to him and his will. Surrender to him. Then they too could rise above the storm like the eagle does. Rise upon the wings. Isn't that what Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says? It says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. Folks, we don't have to let the struggles, the storms of life get us down. Be like an eagle. Use that storm to rise higher than you would have risen had there not been a storm in your life. You know, God never promised us a rose garden here upon the earth. I know there are prosperity gospel preachers, but they're just liars. It's not the truth. God didn't promise us a rose garden. He didn't say, if you get saved, you'll be healthy and wealthy and wise. And if you're not healthy, wealthy, and wise, then you must not be saved. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's not the truth, my friends. God didn't say it would be a rose garden down here. Matter of fact, what he did say in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 21, he said, when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, you notice the word when? Not if, but when? That means it's going to, folks. It's going to happen. Persecution and tribulation will arise if you hang on to the word of God, if you try to live by the word of God. John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, in this world ye shall, there's that shall word again, ye shall have tribulation. In this world ye shall have tribulation. It's real, folks. If you haven't experienced it yet, you're going to. If you're not going through tribulation now, you're going to. Maybe you're coming out of tribulation. If you get out of it for a while, praise God, enjoy it, because it's coming back. In this life, ye shall have tribulation. Prepare for it. Get ready for it. Get in the Word. Get yourself ready for it, because that's part of this life. The storms of life can either drive us away from God or drive us closer to Him, like the eagle does. He uses that storm to rise even higher than he could have before. When the eagle sees a storm, he heads straight for it. You know what the eagle does when he sees a storm coming? He heads right for the sun. Heads straight up to the sun. It's what we need to do. Head for the sun. Head for the cross. Head for Jesus. That's what the eagle does. He knows that he can rise above that storm if he'll just head for the sun. Folks, when a storm comes in your life, you can rise above that storm if you'll head for the sun. If you'll head for the S-O-N. We can rise above the storms of life, too, if we just do that. I know we can learn a lot from the eagle, but too often we want to struggle with the storms of life in our own flesh, in our own way. I'll get through this somehow. I'll muddle through it my way. No, folks, you'll just trip and fall, and you'll keep falling unless you go God's way. David knew something about the struggles of life, the storms of life. He'd gone through much of that in his life. In 1 Samuel, it talks about the fact that his home and his hometown were all destroyed and burned up. His friends and his friends' families were all taken into captivity by a bunch of outlaws. But all this time, this wasn't the end of his troubles. Really, that was just the beginning of his troubles. You see, his men, his chosen men, those that were the closest to him, blamed him for the whole thing. It's all your fault, David. And actually, they wanted to lynch him because of it. So what did David do? Did he go in a corner and cower? Did he whimper and whine and complain about the storms that he was going through? Woe is me. That's what we tend to do. I know I tend to do. I want to complain. No, David didn't do that. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what he did. When the storms came, he didn't cower in a corner. He said, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord my God. I'll tell you how I get encouraged in the Lord. I get in his word. I get down. I see storms. I get in the word. I get some encouragement from the word of God. The results of that is that God renewed his strength like the eagle, like the promise is here in our text. He brushed away his tears. David reorganized his men, and he went out to battle, and he won the battle. He won the victory. Because he trusted in the Lord, he gave it over to the Lord. He remembered that the wings were not his, but the Lord's wings that would bear him on and carry him. He didn't quit. He conquered in the power of the Lord. Third thing I want to mention is about an eagle, his eagle's habits, if you will, is that the eagle, what does the eagle do when an enemy comes at him to attack an eagle? Well, whenever an eagle feels like he's under attack, he simply rises up above. Rises away from, get out of the eagle. Eagle gets out of his enemy's reach. You see, he knows that the closer he gets to the sun, the farther away he is from his enemy. He knows that his enemy can't reach where he can reach. He knows that he can go to the sun, but his enemy can't go to the sun. So he heads for the sun for protection, for safety. So when trials and troubles, when enemies come your way, why don't you do like the eagle and go to the sun? The S-O-N, head for the sun, because your enemies can't go to the sun, but you can. You can go to him for refuge, for safety. He'll protect you. He'll keep you. do like the eagle does. The closer we live to the sun, the less our enemies will be able to attack us because they can't go there. They can't go to the sun because they're unsaved. But the closer we live to the sun, the less our enemies will attack us if we'll just stay near the sun. Satan cannot touch us if we direct our lives close to the sun, the S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness, the rock of our salvation. Learn from the eagle, the way the eagle responds to its enemies. He'll always come to our aid if we'll just go to him. Psalm 91, verse 1, puts it this way. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall, I like that word, because there's no wishy-washiness, no iffiness there. That's definite. It's a shall. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that promise. The fourth habit of the eagle that I want to share with you this morning is the way that the eagle cares for its youngs. And I really got blessed by this one. The more I studied about this, I really got blessed by it. Maybe it's because I got 5 granddaughters right now and 2 grandsons on the way. So as I get those little rugrats around the house, and I love it. You know, all you grandparents know what I mean. The best part of grandparents is the fact that you can send them home. My wife and I have been in a quiet house for so long, and when the kids all come up, it's mayhem. It's mayhem with that many rugrats running around, and it's great. Love every minute of it. But the minute that door closes, they leave, my wife and I look at each other and go, I love grandchildren. But I love what I learned about the eagle and the way it cares for its youngs. Listen to this now. The male and the female eagle will live together beside the nest where the youngins are. I have to say youngins. I'm from the south now. The male and the female eagle will live beside the nest where their youngins are, and they'll be devoted to one another for life. Did you hear that? Eagles know to be devoted to one another for life? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with mankind? I mean, seriously, the eagle knows better than we do. One partner for life. The male and the female eagle will share the responsibilities of raising the eaglets. Well, that's something we're missing in America today, too. The men want to be out of the home, doing their thing, and leaving the woman to do it all alone. A lot of homes, the woman's got to make the money and raise the kids. What's wrong with us? Look to the eagle. They're smarter than we are. They got a bird brain. They're smarter than we are. Seriously, they know that you need a male and a female in a house to raise the youngins. Their care of the eaglets is a beautiful part. It's a touching part about the way they... Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'd like you to see this for yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and look at verse 11 there with me, if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." This verse is a beautiful verse, folks. If you study that verse, it's beautiful. What it depicts here is the way of a mother eagle when she's teaching her youngins how to fly. What does she do? Look at the verse. She stirreth up her nest. She'll flutter over that nest, and with her wings, she'll literally kick those little eaglets out of the nest. Now remember, we said at the beginning, where do eagles build their nest? Way up in the crags of the rocks on the top of the mountains. And she goes up there when it's time for them to fly, and she'll flutter her wings and literally kick them out of the nest to see if they're ready to fly or not. Look at that verse again. "As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young," that's literally what that's talking about there, "and as that little one flutters down from that crag up at the top of the mountain, if for some reason it's not ready and it can't get the gist of it, it can't seem to fly on its own, the mother will then swoop down under it, put broad her wings, and catch that little eaglet on her wings so it won't get dashed on the rocks below." Look at the verse, verse 11. "And as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings." The mother eagle will literally catch that little one on her wings and bring it to safety. The rest of the verse says, "taketh them, beareth them on her wings." That's a beautiful picture of how God has designed the eagle to take care of its youngs. God too, at times, you know, will try us. He'll put us in a place where he's literally kicking us out of the nest, in a sense, to see if we're ready to fly. He'll allow us to be tried. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says it this way, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Don't despise it when you're going through a trial, my friends. Go to the sun like the eagle does. Run to the sun. Run to the S-O-N. Let him put his wings out under you, his arms around you, and bear you through it. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If you take a trial that comes your way in the right manner, if you go to the Son and let him bear you through, it brings honor and glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then again in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Folks, it's going to happen. This life is filled with trials. We saw that already in other verses. Be prepared for it. Be in the Word of God. Be ever looking to the Son and ready for his wings to bear you up. David said in Psalm 66 and verse 10, For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Don't despise the trying of the Lord. Look for it. Expect it. Be prepared for it. And when it comes, do like the eagle, run to the sun. Yes, God will allow us to be tried. There are tests that we see if we're ready to fly or not. And the neat part is, know this, remember this always when the trial comes, that God will never leave us alone. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're not alone in that trial. God, who knows us better than we know ourselves, will always be there with his outstretched arms like the eagle's wings, ready to bear us up. Isaiah 40 and verse 28 in our text here says this, The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Watch this now. There is no searching of his understanding. God knows what you're going through, my friends. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows when those trials come. And best off, he knows the way out. He knows the way of escape. Trust in him. Lean on him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 makes it clear that there is no temptation that's taking you that is common to man, that is not common to man. We all go through the same thing. We all go through the same trials and temptations. And there's always a way of escape. And that's always like the eagle going to the sun. Turn to the sun. Exodus 19 and verse 4, the great Jehovah speaks to the children of Israel and reminds them about the great care that he had given them for all those many years in captivity while they were in Egypt. And then he reminds them about how he's now given them freedom. He's released them from their bondage in Egypt. And God says in verse 4, he says, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Folks, there's so much we can learn from the eagle. We can learn a lot by living like the eagle lives, by his habits. What a beautiful picture this is about God's people being bared on his wings, in his arms like eagle's wings, carrying them through. Sometimes the children of Israel, as they wandered through the wilderness, sometimes they fainted, sometimes they were discouraged, they were hungry, sometimes they murmured and complained. But all the time, throughout the whole time, God was there. With his outstretched arms, ready to provide for them all of their needs. We all need to know and to remember that the same God that was there for the Israelites is there for you and me, my friends. And he's still got his arms out. I really believe that's why it was crucifixion they chose, because on the cross, he put his arms out and said, All, come unto me. He's ready for you. If you're going through a trial right now, his arms are out. He wants to bear you up in his arms. Those are some of the habits of the eagle. Now let's briefly look at some of the heritage of an eagle. What does an eagle get for being an eagle, basically? For one thing, he gets a good set of eyes. You've all heard the saying, eagle-eyed, right? Really sharp eyes, strong eyes. An eagle's eyes are very strong. They can see at great distances. They can see what most others can't see. As he flies in the great heights that they're used to flying in, they can see way down to the ground. Interestingly enough, something I found out about the eagle is the only animal or bird that can look directly at the sun. Listen to me now. The eagle is the only creature that can look directly at the sun. Oh, I'm wrong. The eagle's not the only creature that can look directly at the sun. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You know the other creature that can look directly at God? The born-again creature, the new creature in Christ. We will have the privilege of looking at him one day. The eagle now is the only creature that can look at him, but one day, you and I, born-again children of God, will be able to see him as he is. Won't that be a wonderful day? Likewise, God makes our eyes much like the eagle's eyes. We too can see afar off like the eagle does. God gives us vision for our days. He gives us vision for the future. He gives us vision for the things of God. The things of God that the world cannot see, he allows the child of God to be able to see. You and I can see those things with the spiritual eye, and the world cannot see it. God gives his people life, new life through Jesus Christ. He gives us spiritual eyes. We can see what he sees, the future. We can see goodness and love and faith the way he sees it. We can see the people of the world, unfortunately, the way he sees them, wicked and depraved and depressed. We can see our duty before him as he wants us to see it. See, he gives us a vision that we wouldn't have as a natural man. He gives us the ability to see these things. Then as we submit and commit ourselves to him, as the verse 31 here says, and as we fulfill his destiny for our lives, hopefully we'll be able to say, as the Apostle Paul said one day in Acts chapter 26 and verse 19, where he said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." You know, God has a vision for each and every one of us. What he wants you to do, what he wants you to be, where he wants you to go. He has a vision. It's our duty to try to find that and follow it. The eagle, yes, has he inherits wonderful eyes by being an eagle, but he also inherits a longing to be free. Eagles don't like to be caged up. But also, eagles don't fly. You'll never see an eagle flying in a flock like a geese, like a goose. Which is that? You never see them flying in groups like that. At the most, you'll see the couple, the married couple, if you will, the male and the female flying together. That's the most you'll see. You'll not see them in great groups because they like to be free. They like to be alone. They like to be independent creatures. Well, that's a real parable for humanity, for mankind's relationship with God. We also long to be free. It's in our nature. That's what one great thing about America. We are a free country compared to most of the world, but we also long to be free, free from the burden of sin, free from the sin that drags us down. We were born to stand alone before God, and we're all going to do that someday. Stand alone before God and give an account. We were born to be free. Let us never be afraid of solitude, because when you're alone, if you're a child of God, you're never alone. You're alone with the Lord. My wife often asks me, "How in the world can you enjoy spending hours out in the woods hunting when sometimes you don't see anything or shoot anything? You're just there for hours all by yourself. How can that be fun?" Oh, I'm telling you, it's wonderful to be out in God's creation. If I never shoot a thing, I'm happy when I come home. It's wonderful. Only a hunter can understand that. But it's wonderful. It's a wonderful place to be because you're never alone. You're alone with God. And I love the wilderness. Although we're all born to be free, and we all have an ingrained desire to be free, the fact of the matter is that freedom can be lost. It can be bartered away for a bowl of pottage like Esau did in Genesis chapter 25. And we often do that because of sin. People who were born to be free can be enslaved to sin. I read a story about a rancher that was out in the field one day, and he was watching this beautiful, gigantic eagle float up, like we're saying, they just ride the wind waves up there, and it's floating up there. And the rancher was watching him for the longest time, and all of a sudden, that eagle dove straight down from the field, and it grabbed onto this big old snake, and then it flew right straight back up with that snake in its arms. But the rancher watched that eagle for the longest time, and he said, as it was going up, that snake kept biting the eagle in the legs and in the belly. And in the leg, just kept biting at that eagle, beautiful big eagle. And it just kept flying, ignored the bites, and just kept flying and kept flying and kept flying. And it got to a certain point, and it started to come down. You see, the poison from the snake eventually took over, and the eagle came down and crash landed on the ground dead. What that eagle would not let go of,
What he had a death grip on was the death of him. I thought of that story and I thought how many, so many believers, so many lost, will hold on to their sin for so long. I won't let go of this thing, this one thing. I know it's got a hold of me, but I've got a hold of it, and I can control it. No, you can't. And they won't let go. Before long, it's the death of them. It takes them. What a parable that is of the condition of a man who won't let go of his sin, won't let it go and trust God's way, repent of his sin. But the Bible couldn't be any clearer than it is in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 in part A when it says, for the wages of sin is... That's what happened to that eagle, my friends. That's what will happen to you and I. It will happen to a lost person. Happen to anyone who won't let go of their sin. If they won't let go of their sin and trust in God, the sin will have its way. It will bring death. Here's an interesting fact as I studied about eagles. An interesting fact that I found out about eagles. Eagles are carnivores. That's not the interesting fact. But eagles are carnivores. They only eat meat. They're only meat eaters. They only eat animals. In order to fly and have the power and the strength to fly like they do, they need a lot of energy, a lot of strength. And they get that strength from the fact that they're carnivores. They eat only meat, a lot of protein. They pound that protein. Eagles feed on freshly killed things. They don't eat something that's dead and rotted like you see those turkey vultures eating a dead skunk along the road. I'm glad I'm not a turkey vulture. But eagles only eat things that were freshly killed or something they killed themselves. But the eagles cannot digest everything that they take in. Their digestive system just can't handle it. Like the bones and the hair, the feathers or whatever of what they've eaten, their body can't digest it. So that gets collected in their craw, their crop. It's like a stomach, a pre-stomach, right? And that stuff gets collected in that part of their stomach, the craw. And over time, if they get too much of that stuff in them that shouldn't be in them, the bones and the hair or the feathers of what they've eaten, if they get too much of that in their craw, it will actually keep them from soaring. They can't fly with a craw full of stuff that shouldn't be in there. It's poison to them. It's not good for them. They shouldn't have taken it in, but they have, and it will keep them from soaring. Here's what's interesting. You know what an eagle does when he's got a craw so full of things in his life that shouldn't be there, things that are keeping him from soaring like eagles were meant to soar and fly? You know what he does? He runs to a rock. He runs to a rock and he'll beat his head back and forth, beat his beak on that rock. And they're not sure, scientists aren't sure why. I have my ideas. I think they do it till they get so dizzy, because here's what happens. After they do that for a while, I know it's almost lunchtime, they bring up what's in that craw. All right? They beat their head on a rock until, for whatever reason, I think it's because they get dizzy, and they bring up what's in their craw. They empty out the craw. And guess what? Then they can fly to new heights. Wow. I thought that's powerful stuff. That'll preach right by itself. Think about that, my friends. We humans, too, have something in us, something that we shouldn't have in us, something we shouldn't have taken into us, something we can't digest, something we shouldn't have within us, something we need to get rid of in order to be able to fly to new heights, spiritual heights, if you will. There's something in us called sin, and that's keeping us from flying to new spiritual heights that we could if we would get rid of that sin. But like the eagle, we have an answer. We don't, praise God, have to beat our head on a rock, but we need to go to a rock, amen? The rock of our salvation. We need to go to him with our sin and leave it there. Say, God, forgive me of my sins. Turn from your sin and walk away. We need to go to the rock. Again, you can learn a lot from the eagle. Let me ask you, has your load of sin kept you from soaring to the heights that God wants you to rise to? Is there a place that God would like you to be spiritually, but you can't get there because your craw is so full of things that ought not to be in there? Remember, like the eagle, we were made for the heights, not for the chicken life, not for down here earthbound. We were meant for on high. We're going to rise one day. But is there so much sin in your life that it's keeping you down? Let me move on. Finally, the eagle also inherits long life. Eagles will live to 120 years or more. Even in captivity, they can live that long. Here's a neat thing. Each year, the eagle sheds a certain part of its feathers and grows new ones. So have you ever seen an eagle that looked old? I mean, you can see an old dog that's 20 years old, and it's got a gray face, and it looks old. I was telling Pastor, the new place we just moved into down in North Carolina, I got a bunch of deer coming out every day and eating there, and I got this one old deer there. She's an old female, an old doe, and I'm telling you, this thing's old. She's got a humpback like a swayback horse. I mean, just, she looks bad. And that's the way you keep a good herd of deer, is to get rid of the ones that aren't so good. And she's just an old deer. And you can tell she's got a gray face, and she could be in a freezer this fall, Lord willing. I'm going to put her to good use. But you can tell some animals that are old, but I've never seen an eagle that looked old and gray. That looked old. They always look young and fresh and new. And I found out that every year they shed some of their feathers and grow new ones back, so they all have that youthful appearance. How many here would like to have that in there? Okay, for some of us, at 100 years old, an eagle will shed all of its feathers and get a completely new coat of feathers, so it still looks young. Wow. I don't want to have to wait for 100 years, but I'd love to have a new coat. Love to have a new coat of feathers. I know most of us would wish that we could do that as well. Well, in like manner, God promises to renew our strength, to renew our youth like the eagles. By his Spirit and through his power, God restores, he revives our lives every single day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." He's making us a new creature day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. He's making us new inside. Besides that, for the believer, we don't only get a renewed innards, a renewed inside, a renewed inner man, but we also have life everlasting, eternal life. We shall never die. We'll live forever with him. One writer put it this way. He said, "Winter may be upon my head, but the eternal spring is in my heart." My dear friends, if you've never received the free gift of salvation by grace and through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary and rose 3 days later, proving his victory over sin, death, and hell, if you've never come to him, repented of your sin, turned from your wicked ways, like the eagle, if you've never come to the rock and gotten that thing out of you that shouldn't be in you, that sin that's holding you down, I beg you, I implore you today, come to him. Come to the rock. Get rid of that sin in your craw. Turn it over to him and say, "God, make me a new creature in Jesus Christ." Come to Jesus and be saved before it's too late. God wants you to live the eagle life, not the chicken life. Let's bow our heads. Everyone stand, please, as we bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, I praise your holy name. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that is there for us, Lord, every single day. I praise you. I thank you that you've saved my wretched soul. Lord God, I pray right now that as you work in our hearts, that everyone in this place would get serious. It's the most serious time of the morning, the time that we examine ourselves. We ask ourselves, we ask you, Lord, to reveal to us, Father God, am I living the chicken life or the eagle life? And you may be there and you may say, oh, I'm saved. I've accepted the Lord. Well, praise God. I'm so glad for that. But then you must ask yourself this question. Even though I'm saved, even though I'm trying to live the eagle life, is there a bunch of stuff in my craw, things in my life, that I really ought to get out to be able to fly to new spiritual heights with the Lord? I'm going to ask you a question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm the only one looking around, and only so I can pray for you. Is there anyone here who's not 100% sure that they have a home in heaven when they die? Anyone at all? Put your hand up and I won't acknowledge you. I won't point you out. I'll just pray for you. No one, everyone here is certain that they're saved. Well, praise God for that. I thank you for that. Now I ask you this. Is there something in your life, something that's hindering you, like the stuff in that eagle's craw keeps him from soaring to new heights? Is there something in your life that you probably should get out, because you know you could fly to more spiritual heights if you just rid yourself of that today? If that's you, would you slip your hand up and back down? I'll pray for you. We probably all could say that. If you don't say that, then you're saying I'm sinlessly perfect, and we know that's a lie. We've all got something in our lives. I know my hand's up. There's stuff that we could get out so that we could fly to greater heights to the glory of God. Father God in heaven, I praise your holy name. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this church. I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you convicted me of and taught me as I studied your word regarding this, the eagle and the things that we can learn from the eagle. Lord, you created the eagle, and I believe you created him with these attributes for a reason. And Lord, I thank you that we can learn from that. And I pray that none of us leave here the same way that we came in. And Lord God, at this time of invitation, I pray that anyone that maybe senses that there's something in their life that could get better if they just let go of that sin, Lord, I pray that we come to the altar right now and pray and ask you to strengthen us. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. Esther.
We're going to turn the hymnals very quickly.
292. I think it is.
No, 298. If there is something in your craw that you know God's talking to you about and you need to get rid of and have it taken care of, the altar will be open as we sing. Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling you home. Back to that place where you can once again soar. Would you this morning come to the altar? Need someone to pray with you, we'll pray with you. If you need someone to talk to, we'll talk with you this morning. But on that first stanza, Jesus is tenderly calling. If he's calling you, he's calling you to the altar this morning.
Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling.
Is Jesus speaking to your heart today? During this hour, has God spoken to you about something in your life? You don't have to make it known to anyone else other than yourself and the Lord. Come this morning and simply say, Lord, I want to acknowledge, I know it's there. I'm going to work on that this week. I'm going to keep on working on it until it's been taken care of this morning.
One
of the things that I have learned is that Jesus doesn't continue to call. He calls, and he calls, and then all of a sudden one day he stops calling. He said, if you really want to live that way, then that'll be your choice, and I'll honor it. Whether it's to rededication or to salvation this morning, would you come as we sing on that second stanza? Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Stop fighting with the elements that's keeping you from where you should be in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord. That which is keeping you from soaring on high, get it taken care of, bring it to the altar, leave it here, and walk away ready to soar. Jesus is calling the weary.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring in your burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn you away.
Isn't that great news this morning? He won't turn you away. You may have said, well, I've been dealing with this now several times. This may be the day that you get it taken care of. This may be the day that you actually leave it here and get up and you walk away. So much lighter, ready to soar. One more stanza, we're going to close this morning on that last stanza.
Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to his voice, hear him today.
So important that he calls you today is because you may not have it tomorrow. None of us can walk out of here and say, well, Lord willing, I'll be back next week. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You need to take care of today, what God's spoken to you about this hour. The invitation still remains open. If you want to talk to myself or Brother Scott or ladies, you want to talk to my wife, be glad to do so after the service this afternoon. You just need to see us. Father, we thank you for this time we can be together. We thank you for the message that we've heard. Lord, reminded again of the limitless life that can be lived by believers above the fray of sin, Well, not to sinless perfection, but, Lord, not dragged down into the depths and the mire and the muck, but, Lord, to be able to recognize it for what it is. Lord, to take a different path, to flee from its path, to flee out of its way as we soar above the storms of life. Father, again, we thank you for the message we've heard, the challenge it has left with us today. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless Brother Scott and his dad. Lord, bless Lisa as well as she visits with her dad. And we pray for him as he deals with the Alzheimer's. And Father, we think of many others this morning. We think of Rob that's homesick today. Again, this weather exacerbating his back problem. We pray that you'll guide and direct and meet the needs there in his life. But again, Father, as we leave now and gather again this evening, we pray that you dismiss us with thy blessings in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.